discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
Well, it's the dream of so many. Picking up everything, moving to Hollywood, and making a career in the entertainment industry. But for Andrea Logan White, finding success in Hollywood left her searching for something deeper. Perfection. And so while her acting resume and modeling accolades continued to grow, she battled an eating disorder and fought to find something that could fill her need for more. Until the day she found herself at a stoplight in Hollywood and had an experience that changed her life. Andrea Logan White is a producer, an actress, and the co-owner of Pure Flicks. You have quite likely seen her in Mom's Night Out and Do You Believe. A tremendous day to you, Andrea. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ryan. Wow, that was a great introduction.
Oh, you're so kind. Thank you so much. Well, how are you doing today? Are you having a pleasant day, first of all?
I am. I am, I feel like I'm full-time mom, as most of America is. And so running around, dropping off and picking up kids from school and doing way too many sports. And, you know, we're just overcommitted parents, but we have a lot of joy.
We've had the chance to welcome your husband, David, to the show before, and he shared a bit about the early days of this remarkable faith-based, what's really become an entertainment powerhouse that is PureFlix. Before we jump into your story, which is just incredible, could you just give us a sketch of what PureFlix is for anyone who might be listening and not be familiar with it?
Sure, and if you live in a cave, you might not know what Netflix is, but but yes, PureFlix is the alternative to Netflix. It's a family and faith-based entertainment, so it's a digital platform. You can get it on your phone, you can get it on your smart TV, smartphone, and it's basically just family-friendly, all filtered content that you can put on at any time, and it offers you just, great content that you have an alternative if you don't want to watch all of the other scary things out there. And it's a great thing to have. And obviously we're raising our own children, so we want to be able to offer this TV, films, and this database that has thousands and thousands of titles, movies, television. I was just on there actually today at cooking shows, you know, all kinds of fun things that you can share with your family.
Is it a little strange to be perusing a site like that and to see you in a lot of the acting credits on the films?
You know, it's surreal. I mean, obviously, we're so grateful to see what God has done to the business, because we started with this, you know, little company that just basically distributed DVDs with our films that we did and other people's films. And then to see it escalate and kind of trying to keep up with everything else in Hollywood, it's a blessing. We're really grateful.
There's been a desire for so long, you know, in movies, for films that tell great stories and also do celebrate faith. And you've had these moments where a film like The Passion of the Christ or the Narnia series would just blow up the box office. But what are you guys doing that is just finding sustained success, both in theaters and in digital, with movies like Mom's Night Out, God's Not Dead, and The Case for Christ? What do you think it is that is just fueling this incredible popularity of your movies and your digital platform when so many of these other efforts have tried to do something similar but just haven't been able to find lasting success?
Well, yeah, I don't know if there's an easy answer to that, but David's been in Hollywood for 25 plus years. And so I think a lot of it is perseverance and diligence and never giving up. I think that's with anything. And I also think that it's just, we really love what we do, and we are very involved with our fans, and we try to make the content that they want to see and try to make quality films. And it's not easy to do everything and to do it all, but we really we love what we do, and I feel like that shows, but it's also, we just want to try to keep up with the quality of it and perseverance and never giving up.
I love that phrase too. It's not easy to do everything. There's an understatement if ever there was one. I love it. Okay.
Yeah.
Andrea Logan White is a producer, an actress in feature films like Mom's Night Out and Do You Believe, the co-owner of the faith-based entertainment powerhouse Pure Flicks, and author of Perfectly Unfinished, Finding Beauty in the Midst of Brokenness. And this is an amazing book that details your story, Andrea, which is incredible. Let's head back to where the curtain opens on the story. You write about battling with feelings of unworthiness and imperfection from really quite a young age, and the instability in your family life. You feel that that was a pretty big part of that, right?
Absolutely. You know, I obviously we are meant to be loved, and I think not having the foundation and love of God and knowing that as a little girl, I tend to be somebody who's sensitive. I look at my middle child who is like a spitting image of me, and you know, we all crave love and attention. And I grew up in an environment that my dad was a cop, my mom worked, and so we didn't have a very affectionate home, and it was nobody's fault, but I carried that as rejection and feeling like there was something wrong with me. And so that really from little on, that critical voice just was constantly, you know, obviously, what do you call it? You call it the enemy's voice, you call it your critic, you know, the inner critic. Mm-hmm. But I felt like I wasn't smart enough, good enough, and I felt unlovable. And so I just picked up a performance type mentality from an early age of like, well, if I was better at this, if I was smarter, if I was cuter, then I would get more attention. And so I didn't feel like I was enough just being me.
Was there any faith in your home growing up? Was it cultural? Was there anything there in terms of who God was and who he was to you?
You know, I thought God was just some dude up in the sky, but you know, to be honest, we went to church Christmas and Easter. I was baptized Greek Orthodox of all things. And so I maybe went once a year and the whole sermon was in Greek. So of course I didn't understand it. And then my mom, we went to a local church, you know, a couple times a year, but again, there was no relationship with Christ there. So I didn't know that there was something there and I never had a clue in what, you know, the Father's love was or, you know, having Jesus in your heart. I mean, I didn't know what that was. And so that's something that obviously I want to, you know, my children, we're training our children as, because for us, that's a priority.
You say that you found real comfort and real love from your friends' parents and your grandparents as well. How important was that to you in the midst of what you were dealing with at home?
It was huge. And one of my best friends, since we've known each other since we were born, her mother was a Christian, and just her welcoming presence, her smile that just radiated a room, her gentleness. I mean, she carried the fruits of the Spirit. And so looking back, you know, we can say, oh, you know, I had such a bad life, but I truly believe that God is always there in the midst of, even when we don't realize it. And looking back, that was one of the places that God was at work. And also my grandparents, I don't know about your relationship if you had one with your grandparents, but it's something like you can do no wrong and your grandparents are there to love you and to feed you. And, you know, there's such fond memories that I have of both of my grandparents that, you know, that's something that I still relish to this day.
One of the most amazing aspects of your story and who you are today is this reality that you and your two brothers, as you describe it, essentially raised yourselves. Can you paint that picture for us? How did that work?
Yeah. And, you know, and I, my book, I'm very honest and open and transparent, but I love my parents so much. And so I never want to throw them under the bus because, you know, we only do what we know, and God is so infinitely, you know, he's so gracious with all of us. So, you know, after my parents divorced, our family fell apart. So my dad had moved away to another state. My mom was working two jobs. She was kind of in survival mode. And I think I was 12, 13. my younger brother was like 9 or 10. And so we raised ourselves, and I could do whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted. And so guess what? That's what I did, you know, I looked for love in all the wrong places. And, I was always a good student because that perfectionism was always on me, but I was not amazingly talented in anything. I had to work really hard in sports. I had to work really hard in school. And so I just was never enough, even in my own eyes. And so I just had this self-hatred from early on, and then feeling ignored by your parents. You know, I don't know anybody who thrives in that environment, you know?
Absolutely. Well, and we're here with Andrea Logan White. If you're just tuning in, she's a producer, an actress in feature films like Mom's Night Out and Do You Believe, the co-owner of the faith-based entertainment powerhouse Pure Flix, and author of Perfectly Unfinished, Finding Beauty in the Midst of Brokenness. And perhaps understandably, you describe that situation as really contributing to then getting involved with drugs and even the eating disorder that you developed and battled for so long as well. How did those issues start to really play a role in your life?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you think about people with any kind of addiction or eating disorder, and it's really all about control and running from your pain or trying to numb your pain. And so it's not like somebody says, oh, hey, I'm going to go be a drug addict, or I'm going to go be anorexic and nearly kill myself. You know, it's something that we all try to do to cope with unbearable pain. And my mom had moved away and gotten remarried. I was 16 and I was dealing with abandonment. I was also trying to be a big sister / mom to my younger brother. And I was in club volleyball and I was also working and in finishing my last year in high school. And so I slowly but surely had the perfect storm and set up for an eating disorder. So I fell into anorexia my senior year in high school, and then graduated and then moved to San Diego with my dad. But that over the course of that year, I had gotten under 80 pounds. So it started with working out more and maybe controlling what I ate and counting calories, and it just escalated into what comes first, depression or the eating disorder, I don't know. And then, you know, I came to near death within a year. And so it was a really scary time and a wake-up call, but that wasn't the first. That was like the first of many.
Oh, it's just incredible. And on a parallel track, as this is happening, you're actually discovering something. You mentioned earlier that you have to try so hard at everything and you haven't discovered what your true passion is. Well, you do then discover that passion, right? Through theater, you discover this love of acting. How did that discovery introduce itself in your life?
Well, it was kind of like the hidden present in disguise, because I moved to San Diego. I spent the first 6 months in bed because I was so sick, trying to recover from the eating disorder. And then I got well enough, because I am stubborn and I never quit. And so I got well enough to go to my local college down there and had to take the electives and this and that. And I was like, you know what, I'll take a theater class. So mind you, I was an athlete growing up in the cornfields of a small town outside of Chicago. So acting wasn't cool back where I was raised in Chicago. So when I moved to San Diego, it's like all these pretty people and everybody acts. And I was like, oh, you know, I'll try it out. Sure enough, I didn't know a single soul moving to San Diego, and I absolutely fell in love with it. And I think it was because it was an escape of reality when I got to be different characters, and it was escape from Andrea. And so I fell in love with it. I was so shy, and I was always guarded, and there was a freedom that I felt. And I felt like this was something that I'd never felt before. So I fell in love with it.
From San Diego, then, you choose to make the move to Los Angeles and pursue a career in modeling and acting that you describe as immersing yourself in the fast life of compromise. Give us a sketch maybe of where you are at in two ways, right? Because on the one hand, you're finding this career that you really enjoy and you're good at and you're successful at. And on the other hand, you're entering this lifestyle that you paint as being very destructive for you.
And I always say people that want to pursue acting or pursue the business, I say, just remember one thing. Hollywood and the world will tell you everything that you're not, and God and his word is the only one that will tell you everything that you are. And so that's like my tagline to remind everybody, because, you know, it's the worst. If you're already dealing with insecurities and inadequacies, it's not the best business to go in. You have to be, I feel like you have to be really rooted and grounded in Christ. So
wow.
I just want to throw that out there. But yeah, I moved to Hollywood and I had $350 in my account with my green Isuzu Amigo and had no way to pay my bills. And I had a dream in my heart and stars in my eyes. And that's all I knew. And so that allowed some bad choices. And I hung out with Playboy Playmates. And that was my introduction to Hollywood, was partying at the Playboy Mansion. And Hugh Hefner was, like, believe it or not, kind of like a father figure to me. I feel like God protected me from a lot of the perversion that world brings. And obviously I fell into some crazy partying lifestyle things that I did. But Hugh Hefner was really, like, I don't know, he treated me like a daughter in that sense. And I was like, wow, Lord, that was you. Because there's a lot of other bad things that could have happened in that. But
wow.
Yeah, my roommate was Hef's girlfriend. And I had some jobs that I compromised and did some things that I didn't want to do. But I feel like I am who I am today because of those poor choices. And was, you know, I was in the party crowd, the sex, drugs, rock and roll. And it's like, you know, cocaine and Mercedes and perfect, beautiful women. And then I walk into the Playboy Mansion and Leonardo DiCaprio and George Clooney. It's like everything's like there for and it just looks like it's awesome and perfection, but it's not. And it was a very hard few years of questioning, like, why I'm here and what am I doing? And, you know, I had my stoplight moment that you explained earlier, and my cry out to God. And I said, okay, God, if you're here and you're real, you need to show me who you are, because I've lost my will to live and I don't even know why I'm on this earth. I have no reason why I'm here. And sure enough, you know, that stoplight moment, somebody beeps their horn, pointed to the radio station. That's why radio is so powerful, because you have no idea who's on the other end of it and who's crying out. So thank you for what you guys do. And the man drove away. The bumper sticker said, Jesus loves you. I turned to the radio station, and it was the pastor repeating the prayer that I had just cried out to God. So that's like God manifesting himself. And I will never forget that moment. And yeah, slowly but surely, God started working on me.
Wow. That's an amazing story. Andrea Logan White is a producer, an actress in feature films like Mom's Night Out and Do You Believe? She's the co-owner of the faith-based entertainment powerhouse PureFlix and author of Perfectly Unfinished, Finding Beauty in the Midst of Brokenness. So after the incident then at the stoplight, I imagine that life change was not perhaps immediate, right? This is more of a process, because you're in a lifestyle here. So how did you begin to seek out others? How did you begin to seek out church, and what did that process look like?
Yeah, that's a great question, because, you know, obviously the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and so he'll slowly convict you, and you start to do things and it doesn't feel so good to do these things anymore. So that's what's so awesome about God, is you now have this conviction that you've never had. And I went to church with Hef's girlfriend and another friend. They picked us up in a limo, and this was a few years before, so that was the only church that I knew in L.A., and
okay.
It was a church in Malibu. I ended up getting saved there, so it was a couple years later. I would drive there, go in the last row in the last seat of the church, go there, listen to the word, listen to the message in worship, and then bolt, because I didn't want... I felt too uncomfortable otherwise, and
sure.
I still had some sin in my life, and I was like, I don't belong here. And then God started working, and before I knew it, it was like everybody around me at the gym that I also was a personal trainer, and so it was like every other person I knew was like, wait, you're a Christian, and sure enough, then they would invite me to their church, and so God just started surrounding me with believers and slowly just speaking life and encouragement. And I feel like, you know, it says, seek me and you will find me. And I feel like that's figuratively and literally like what happened, is because I was suddenly surrounded. And mind you, you know, there's celebrities there, and there's people that are, you know, all kinds of people that are surrounding you. But it was like, I just was ready for it. And God knew that I needed that. And so I had multiple people say, oh, you want to marry a Christian man in Hollywood? Good luck. And I was like, oh, you know what? I am going to find one. And so, you know, no matter where you live, but God is faithful. And so it took a few years, and then I had a friend that was discipling me, and she's like, you know, you're saved. When you're saved, it means this. You can't really do this and be saved. And I was like, oh, got it. And so God not only places, you know, His Holy Spirit, but He also places amazing friends and friends that can disciple you and that won't judge you and just love you and kind of walk alongside you.
You continue to struggle with the eating disorder side of things, and you say you sought professional treatment to overcome it, but there were times that you did fall back into old patterns. What was it that helped you finally break free from that cycle?
Yeah, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because I know we only have a few minutes left, but it's key for the reason why I wrote this book is because God gave me an amazing godly husband. I have three miraculous children. I have all of these blessings in my life, yet, you know, being a Christian, reading the Bible, praying to God, I fell back really hard into eating disorders, and it fell into bulimia, and I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I have all of these things, and I know you, God. Why am I struggling? And so my heart is to anybody who's struggling out there, you know, don't beat yourself up, because God is faithful, and sometimes it takes years of renewing our mind and the healing, and God doesn't oftentimes want to just hit us over the head and say, okay, you're healed. He wants to renew our mind and heal our soul. And I battled for years, and I just came to the end of myself, to be honest. And I got so tired of hating myself and trying to be this perfect Christian, you know. And I think the perfectionism only got worse when I became a Christian, because I was like, oh, I need to really have it together because I know Jesus. And that's not the case, because the only perfect one that ever lived this earth was Jesus.
Absolutely.
And we will forever be in this change of refining, falling down, getting back up, falling, you know, three steps forward, two steps back. And I did not give myself grace. I hated myself for not being the Christian that I wanted to be. And so then I found myself struggling harder than ever. And I was a Christian. And so, I never fully grasped it until I received God's grace and mercy and said, okay, I'm never going to get it right. And that's okay. And the healing came when I just received God's grace and I surrendered all of my imperfections and I embraced it. I embraced the mess. And I'm not condoning sin. I don't ever condone sin, but I just say, okay, surrender your unfinished life and work to God, and He's in charge of refining us. It's up to us to try to be faithful and obedient, but you know what? We all fall, and the only thing that heals us is God's love.
Amen. Andrea Logan White, the book called Perfectly Unfinished, Finding Beauty in the Midst of Brokenness. If we want to learn more and find a copy of the book, is there a place to go online that's probably best, most efficient?
Well, you can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can also go to perfectlyunfinished.com, or you can go to AndreaLoganWhite.com. So it's on my social media. It's also on my website. So I'm selling it on my website as well as Amazon. Pretty much anywhere you can buy books.
What an honor to meet you. Thank you so much for your time. And this is an amazing, amazing story. Thank you for taking the time to share it.
Oh, thank you so much, Ryan. God bless you guys and everybody who's listening. And just want to let everybody know that I'm for them and I'm praying for them and they're not alone. Has heaven
been down? Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com. It's always the ones with the scars that you use. Oh, it's the rebels and the prodigals. It's the humble and the weak. All the misfit heroes you chose. Tell me there's hope for sin.
with gates open wide. And there's a seat at the table just waiting for you. So come on inside.